Good morning, and God richly bless you for taking the time to visit us, either by viewing our website or by listening to this CD. My name is Pastor Gordon Nessimer, and we at Harvest Church Maple Ridge count it a blessing to have this means by which we can share the thrill of knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord with you and others around the world. What a great privilege it is to be born again from above, to be translated out of darkness into His marvelous light, to be His dear children, and to have the glorious hope of eternal life in heaven with God our Father. I invite you now to join us in the time of worship. Today's upcoming message is entitled, Time, a Stewardship Gift from God our Father, taken from Ephesians 5, 15, and 16. So let's now join the service in session, singing the songs, There's No God as Great as You, He's the Lily of the Valley, Count Your Blessings. May the Holy Spirit do an exciting work in your life as you listen to these songs and the upcoming message presented today.
Thank you. want to worship Thee
yes.
with all our heart, Lord, because You are our God, You are our only hope, Lord, and You are the one which brings joy in our life, joy untold, Lord. Praise Your name. Father, just breathe upon us now, Lord. And Lord, we just thank Thee for Your presence. Hallelujah.
Lord, we worship.
I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am your God. I walk with thee. Oh, come to me with all your
So let's turn in our Bible then to Ephesians chapter 5, please. From the Apostle Paul then, in Ephesians, we learned that we are in God, by God, through God, and we are for God. That's what it's all about in Ephesians, to be established in the Lord. And Paul the Apostle has been teaching us that we are to grow in the knowledge of Christ and of God, and eventually this growth will come about because of the leadership roles of the pastors and the elders, the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists. This is how maturity comes into the body of Christ and unity. And so we've been examining where we once were to where we should be now and where our proposed passion should be. And our proposed passion, Paul has already established, is to be followers or imitators of God. As we move down in Ephesians chapter 5 now, we have discovered that our choice, since God has predestined us to be His children, is to walk as children following Him. So far we've examined walking in love, in light, and circumspectly or in full knowledge of what is going on. Now, my question to you today is this. Just suppose within the next 5 minutes, you knew that the Lord was going to come and He was going to rapture His church. And when we got to the pearly gates, He was going to ask us to answer three basic questions about our following God. I wonder, would you have a good day or would you have a God day? So let's just say that the Lord has gathered His church together and He wants to ask you three questions. The very, very first question that He will ask is, who do men say that I am? The next question He will ask is, and who do you say that I am? And then He will say, and in light of what you say who I am, how close, how sincere, how determined, and how devotionally would you say that you've been following me? Paul finds that following God is the most significant, the most absolute, the most provocative matter in the believer's life. And he affirms over and over and over again that it is following God that will determine the success of your day, whether or not it will be a good day or a God day. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, he starts, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Listen to how the Amplified Version puts Ephesians 5:15. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposely and worthy and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, taking care that you manage your time so that it is productively welcomed to God. So this morning, we want to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, and we'll cover the rest in the next couple of weeks. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 33 can be broken down into three distinct brackets of how you can determine whether or not you will have just a good day or a God day. First of all, redeeming the time. Then, in verse 21, it's submitting yourselves one to another. And then, in the very end, verse 29 and 30, it will be looked at as nurturing towards indivisible unity within the body. Paul the Apostle in Ephesians chapter 5 wants you to have a God day by you attentively, prudently, and determinately spending your life redeeming the time. In Galatians chapter 6-7, he says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith." The preamble to redeeming the time is this. It is not buying back the time. It is not re-evaluating the time. Rather, it is the idea of grabbing hold of the time for the best, appropriate, and welcome outcome that you can possibly make of it. The Greek word has this inference that the Gentiles, we are told, were wasting their time in such wasteful elements as fornication and lust and pride and covetousness, because they were proudful and their thinking was darkened by Satan. And the only thing that they could grip hold of was the immediate self-fulfillment in their life. And that was the outcome. They turned to lasciviousness, jesting, and foolish talking, which was a matter of time wasted. Paul, as you might remember from Ephesians chapter 5, has said that we should not be partakers with them. It's not because of who they were, but because of what they were doing. They were wasting their time. Now, believers, those that are born of God, Paul states, are to have a higher level of conduct for their life. I want to let you know that today, in the time that we spend here, is time invested for the kingdom. But time, as you know, is never ever repeated. And as Shakespeare says, we are not actors on the stage of life. We are living out life in real time, real terms. It never will be repeated. So people classify me as a type A person, that I'm always busy creating or doing things, investing my time in ultimate profitable good ends. And they say, "Why are you so energetic? Why are you so fulfilled and determined? Why is your mind expanded to believe there is so much more opportunity?" And it is because I believe I have only so much time, and I want to do more for God and for others and for myself. If the world could only evaluate the life that we live in the terms of time destined instead of time proposed. You see, the Bible makes it very, very clear. There is a time to live and a time to die, a time to weep and a time to rejoice. There is a time, a bracket, a box in which you and I live. And the irony is this. Most, as I said on the SkyTrain last night to a girl, think that time is extended beyond the point of control. But go to any graveyard and you will see that time has a boundary. Paul wants you and I to understand the element issue of time. And this is what he says, that because we are in the constraints of time, we must live our life with full knowledge of all that is happening in the parameters that we are given. And as we do that, we will not be fools. We will not have vain, empty, futile activities in our life that are of no profit to us and no glory to God at all. And so, he wants us to redeem the time. We need to understand that Christ understood the element of time, and he used it to the maximum, to the most profitable potential good end. Listen how God used time. In Galatians 3:1, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. The just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And then Christ not only died on the cross, but he used his time to predetermine us, predestine us to be his children and to be heirs with God. Galatians 4:1-7, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your life, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. God always maximized the applicable, profitable use of his time. In the fullness of time. In the fullness of time. In the fullness of time. It is so very, very important for you and I to understand that Christ died at the right moment. He was buried at the right moment. And he resurrected at the right moment for you and I to be saved. It is so significant then that as you and I, if we are God's children, if we are following him in love, in light, in knowing what is going on, that we reflect using our time appropriately, all for the glory of God. Amen? We must be purposed and scrupulous in using our time to the best of its availability. You see, God has given you and I certain talents and gifts that we can use to the glory of God. And Paul tells us in Colossians that if we are consciously conscious about the feeding element of time, that believers should walk in wisdom using their time for appropriate godly gain as an example to those that are without. Colossians 4:1 says, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of God, for which I am also in bounds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom to reward those that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. So we use our time circumspectly as we walk in wisdom. And of course, wisdom comes not from within, Paul says. For he preached not the wisdom of man, but the wisdom of God, which brings us out of ourselves and our own self-sufficiency to a trustworthy relationship with God as Savior and Lord. May I say, that is the principal foundation upon which the believer makes his life. A trustworthy relationship with God as Savior and Lord in a restful peace, that as we walk with him, he walks with us, leading us to a safe, welcome, good end. whether it's in health or in illness, whether it's in riches or poverty, whether it's at work or at home, in all that we do, walking with God will bring you to a safe, good end that will be welcoming and refreshing to your soul. Because God Himself is the culmination, the fulfillment of knowledge and wisdom for you. You see, the Bible tells us in Psalm 139 that while we were in our mother's womb, He knew us. And then when the days come to pass, He knew because they were written in His book. Isn't that wonderful to know that it's a master draft for you and I? All charted out, not that we're faithless, but we have a comfortable, resting covenant that absolutely nothing shall ever separate you from the love of Christ. Time is the coin of your life. It is the only coin you have, and only you can determine how it will be spent. Be careful lest you let others spend it for you in wasteful ruin. Carl Sandburg. We must use time as a tool, not as a crutch. John F. Kennedy. This time, like all times, is a very good one if we but know what to do with it. As Ralph Waldo Emerson. And then, time is the most valuable thing that a man can spend because once the coin is tossed, it never comes back without stringent, painful labor. Once the coin is spent, it never comes back without stringent and painful labor. Time can never be recollected. It can never be used again. As we live, we are not on that dress rehearsal. We are doing life. Some for 20 years, some for 30 years, some for 80, and some, yes, like Donna's mother, 100 years plus. But we only get one chance at life. One chance. Time wasted today is gone into eternity. And knowing this, and the lateness of the hour, and knowing that the days are evil, should we not demonstrate determined devotion to following God in love, in light, and wisdom? Amen? King David makes this plea to God as he says, help us to number our days aright, so that we might give our heart unto gaining wisdom, the mind of God. Bernard Brinson, an internationally famous art critic, had a zest for life. Even when he was in ill health, he cherished every moment. Shortly before he died at 94, he said to a friend, I would willingly stand at street corners, hat in hand, asking passersby to drop their unused minutes into it. Oh, that we would learn to appreciate the time, because, he said, I know that although my request is sincere, it's not appropriate, and it's not possible. You may want a few more extra time, but God has given it you now. So walk in Him, in wisdom, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. The reason the days are evil is there is so much wasted time. Futile, empty, meaningless time goes by. You've all heard of David Wilkerson, founder of Teen Challenge. I met David Wilkerson in Vancouver when he was here about 27 years ago as we were talking about restarting Teen Challenge Vancouver. And I listened to him as he told the story how he was a pastor of a Baptist church, had about 45 people, and he was telling us how busy his week was, week after week, making the sermons, doing the bulletins, and coming to the prayer meeting and visiting and all the things that he had to do. And at the end of the day, he was just absolutely tired. He was famished, and he was weary. And he said that he didn't even have the concerns of the people at heart anymore at the end of the day. And after supper, he and his wife would sit in the easy chairs, put the TV on, and watch TV from 7 o'clock to 11:30 at night, go to bed, and start the rat race over and over again. The weeks and the months and the years went by in the same ritual of time passing by. One day, he was sitting in a restaurant, and a pastor friend came to him and asked him, how are you doing, David? And he said, I just don't understand how senior pastors of years past could withstand the toils of labors and never crumble under them. He says, I'm so tired at the end of the day. He says, I just can't do another thing more. The pastor asked him what he does with his time. And David said, well, you know, I'm watching TV. And all of a sudden, one night, as he was preparing to speak on Ephesians chapter 5:15, watch, critically examine, be truthful, examine with scrupulous convictions how you're living your life. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. God, by the Holy Spirit, started to speak in his life. And he said, you're not redeeming the time. You're wasting the time. The next morning, he announced to his wife, the TV's going. He said, we, from 7 o'clock in the evening to 9 o'clock in the evening, will spend time in prayer. Within 1 month, they had 140 people in their home on a team to reach the people in his community. Within 8 months, he was on national TV announcing Teen Challenge. And in every major city, Teen Challenge now exists. All for the glory of God, amen? Because one man re-examined his time. So what can we do in examining our time to become exuberant in the Holy Spirit to have a God day rather than just a good day? Paul tells us that if we are going to have this God day, we must understand what the will of God is. And then he tells us that we must be filled with the Spirit, as contrasted against being drunk with wine. And then he tells us that we must be speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then he says at the end, we need to be thankful people. And my message for you this morning is this. Take 5 or 10 minutes a day to stop and appreciate all that Christ has done for you through the working of the Holy Spirit, and get excited about the great transformation that he has processed in your life by taking you out of darkness into his marvelous light. To take you from being a fool of self-sufficiency, becoming wise in him, even to understand the mystery of his will, eternal life. And I want to encourage you to get on with the job of getting on, redeeming the time, using it profitably for the kingdom of God. And the kingdom will grow. Our church will grow. Your day will grow. And you indeed will have a God day instead of a good day. Amen? That's what it's all about. Co-working with God and with one another to see the kingdom established in earth. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful, wonderful day in the Holy Spirit. Thank you for prayers that are already being answered. Thank you for the igniting of faith, Lord. Thank you for the joyous trust we have in the all-sufficient God. Bless the time of fellowship, Lord, and may the Holy Spirit do a great work in our heart as we ponder the things that have been spoken. For it's all for the glory of God and for the announcement and the extension of the kingdom in earth, even as it is already in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, yeah. God richly bless you for taking the time to listen to this CD. It is trusted that your heart has been edified to a deeper walk with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. If we can be of any assistance to you in praying for you or speaking into your life the love of Christ, please do not hesitate to email me at nesimer@aol.com. Or if you have a special prayer request that you would like to get to us directly, you may phone me at 604-760-7552. On behalf of the congregation at Harvest Church, Maple Ridge, I invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 for our regularly scheduled services. On the first and third Sunday evenings at 6:30, we have our hymn sing and our film night. You are cordially invited to join us if you are in the area. Remember, the supreme love of Christ is exemplified through a godly life of submission that is always followed through with obedience to His call. God richly bless you, yours in Christ, as we work together with Him for kingdom advancement.